Thank you, worship team. It's good to be with you today. We missed last week, but I understand you had a candidate, and that was good as well. And we're trusting the Lord for your decision processes as you go through that. Now, this morning we have a few things that are different. Number one, I forgot my PowerPoint. I stuck it in the computer to update something and didn't bring it back out, so we have no PowerPoint. But Walt is so creative. I had it printed out, and he took photos of it on his phone and transferred that to the computer, and now he has some PowerPoint. But we're going to hand those out. Craig's going to hand out the PowerPoint, and I have half sheets up here. If I could have somebody help me hand those out. These are an in-depth study of what we're looking at today that you can take home and do some studies, or if you're in a small group, you can debate these things together and discuss these things. This is a tradition that I've done in the churches where I've pastored that in every sermon we have these half-sheet handouts that you can take home and you can use those in your small group. And I realize that the print is very small. For those of you that are not as young as I am, the print is difficult to read. And that's why God made magnifying glasses. You can take a magnifying glass and read the fine print. Now this morning as we prepare to open the Word together, I want to encourage all of you, if you don't already carry a Bible with you to church, please find a Bible. In all the churches where I pastored, I always say it this way. If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you a Bible. I don't pastor this church, so I can't say that. But if you need a Bible, that you can buy one pretty inexpensively. I'm sure that if you ask Walt will buy one for you. No, I'm sorry, Walt. The church will provide it for you. But it's very important that you have your own Bible. Because God speaks through His Word, and He wants to speak to you every day of your life. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, God said the king was to have the Word of God with him every day, and every day he was to read from it. So if that's true for the king, it ought to be true for the servants of the king as well. So we need a Bible that's our own. And I'm going to be calling your attention to some scriptures. We're going to open the Word together, and I'm going to ask you to mark your Bible. So that's why it's important to have your own, so you're not marking your neighbor's Bible or somebody else's, all right? Those handouts, don't spend the whole time looking at the handout. The PowerPoint is self-explanatory. I didn't put all the scriptures on the PowerPoint. That's why you have the smaller version. Now, let me say this. We're in a series called Teach Us to Pray, because God wants us to pray. Who taught you to pray? Did you ever stop to think of that? Who taught you to pray? I remember it was my mom. We had six kids in the family, and every one of us, she taught us how to pray. She began with the simple prayers. And so we'd get down on our bedside at night, and she said, pray like this. Now I lay me down to sleep. You say it with me. I pray the Lord my soul to keep, and if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. God bless Mommy and Daddy. On it goes. We just had our grandkids in, and little Robbie is 11 years old. He's kind of diminutive. He's small. When he lays down to sleep, he says that prayer. When he gets to God bless, he goes through probably about 25 different people in the family, and he rattles them off, a 1, 2, 3, boom, 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 and I'm going, okay, I can't even remember my grandkids' names. This kid's got everybody, and he prays for them every day. Who taught you to pray? You know, probably your mother or your father, and in many cases today, people grow up without any roots in the gospel, and nobody teaches them to pray. We have people come to church, they get saved, and nobody teaches them to pray. So it is important that we learn to pray and learn to pray God's way. I introduced that the last time I was here, and we did the first step of the book that I've written on spending time alone with God. We are encouraging people to begin to pray with simplicity. The Lord's Prayer gives us a pattern for it. We're following that pattern in the Word. We have these booklets at the back. These books are on sale for $5 a piece. And you can pick that up, just put the money right there in the receptacle, and that's fine. If you don't have the money, that's fine too. Just take it, because we want you to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also mentioned last week the first step of prayer. Next slide, please. First step of prayer is to be still. To be still, because most of us aren't. We fidget, we've got busy minds, and when it comes to prayer, it's like stopping everything and trying to focus on God, and we can't do it. So it's a discipline that we need to learn. And I encouraged you to begin the process with a 3-minute timer and use that as I did when the Lord retaught me how to pray. And spend at least 3 minutes a day flipping that thing over and being absolutely still. Don't be busy about anything. Don't be thinking about anything else. But for 3 minutes, discipline yourself to be still. And here's the rule that God gave me. If for those 3 minutes I'm not still, then I have to flip it over again until I'm still. And I kept doing that. It took me about 12 times to flip that over each day until 3 weeks later I finally discovered how to be still. It's a process. It's not going to happen overnight. I have those three-minute timers back there. Those are free for you to take. Don't take multiples. Just take one, and I will call you during the week and find out if you're doing it. No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to call you. All right, that's all by way of introduction so we know where we're going this morning. The message this morning is not in the book, but it's a corollary. It's an offshoot of being still. Because there is a reason why God wants us to be still. When Jesus gave us the Sermon on the Mount, in that, he taught his disciples to pray. And he said, the first thing you need to do is go into your closet and shut the door so you can be with your Heavenly Father. Being with God is part of prayer. Now, the question naturally comes to us, why do we need to be with him? Isn't he everywhere? Isn't he always with us? Yes, he is. But we are not always aware of his presence with us, and we are certainly not aware of his voice. So being still is so that you can hear the voice of God. Most of us, when we pray, it's a monologue. It's us talking to him, telling him all of our needs, all of our problems, everything else that's going on. Hello, everybody look up here. God knows that already. So the monologue is useless to tell God what's going on if there's not a communication that's reciprocal where God is speaking back to you and he's pouring into you what he wants you to know, because we are the ones that need to learn to know God. So the message this morning is about how to hear the voice of God. How to hear the voice of God. You have the PowerPoints in your hand, and I don't want you reading that or stumbling over it, but I wanted to give you a guide so that you can understand where we're going. Next slide, please. Listen to the voice of God. Everybody take a moment and put your hand to your ear and just be still. What do you hear? I hear a fan. I think I hear the air conditioner back here. I hear some mouth breathers. Not much else is going on. All right, you can take your hand down from me. Unless you're deaf, you keep the hand up there. You might hear better. We need to pay attention to what the Lord is saying. As we get older, sometimes we lose our hearing and it becomes dull, and we need hearing aids. How many here have hearing aids? Admit it. Okay, my wife keeps telling me I need them, but there's no way I'm going to spend the kind of money we spend on hers. So I'll just say, what? Huh? Or ignore her and go on with my own business. We do that with God sometimes. We don't hear his voice immediately, and so we run off and do other things. Or we are deaf because there's so many other things going on in our lives. We need to learn to listen to God. And I want to give you a study on hearing the voice of God. Next slide, please. Hearing the voice of God. It's very important that we understand that God speaks. You do know that God speaks. I was recently teaching this and mentioning it in a conversation with another pastor who became infuriated with me. Absolutely infuriated. Got in my face and started yelling at me that God doesn't speak anymore. Don't say God spoke to you. Don't say God whispered this in your ear. God doesn't speak anymore. He speaks through the Word and through the Word only. And I thought, woo. This is an alliance pastor. And I and some of the other men with him sat him down and tried to correct him, but he wasn't listening. And for him, God only speaks through the Word, and there is no whisper. I want to give you some biblical basis for God speaking today. Yes, he speaks in the Word, but he speaks beyond that. Jesus said it in John chapter 10. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Everybody say those words, hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. Didn't say they read my Word. In other passages, Jesus talked about the law. The prophets go to it and search the Scriptures, see this, if these things are so. But in this passage, he says, my sheep hear my voice. That is, there's a personal relationship in which God speaks to his sheep. He speaks to individual sheep. He tells us the way to go. He instructs us. He guides us into his truth. I want to give you a passage from Isaiah. It's up there on the screen. It's Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21. I was preaching in Brazil to a number of pastors, and after I finished my sermon, I used Isaiah 30, 21. I was speaking about God's whisper and God speaking to us. One of our missionary friends, who is my age, came up to me and he said, "Dick, where was that passage?" And I gave it to him again. And he said, "I have never seen that in all of my studies." And he had a PhD, and he said, "In all of the studies, I've never run across that scripture." And here it is. "And your ears will hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it,' when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left." That is a powerful scripture. Way back in the Old Testament, God says, "You will hear a voice. You will hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" God has promised that He's going to speak to His people, and He doesn't stop speaking. He continues to speak throughout all ages. In my book on Time Alone with God, I mention a lot of times about listening to God and being still enough to hear His voice. I was in a conversation with my son one day, and he and his wife are both highly educated. They both have PhDs. They work busy jobs. And Andrea is a more recent Christian, probably in the last 15 years, 18 years that she's been a believer. She hears from the Lord all the time. Every morning she hears from the Lord. God directs her who to call, what to do, what her decisions should be. And as we were talking about this, Andrew looked at me and he said, "Dad, I have never heard the voice of God. And I'm not really sure what you're talking about when you say," and Andrea says, "you hear God speak," or "God spoke to you." And I looked at Andrew and I said, "Andrew, that concerns me. Because there's only two reasons why you don't hear from God. Number one, if you're not saved, you're not going to hear God's voice until He calls you." And I said, "I led you to Christ. I remember the day, and you remember the day. I know you believe. I know you've trusted Christ as your Savior. So the second must be the problem, and that is you don't spend enough time alone with God to learn to hear His voice." So I challenged him that. He took the book home, and we didn't talk anymore about that, but he took the book home and he started to read it. And he made a comment to me later by email or some other way, and he said, "Dad, that first chapter is really tough about being still. I'm struggling with that." The next time I saw him was probably about 6 weeks later. And he said, "Dad, I've been studying your book with a bunch of guys at work at ExxonMobil. And we've been going through the chapters." And he said, "That first chapter is hard for all of us." But then he said something wonderful. He said, "I think I'm beginning to hear God's voice." He says, "Sometimes it's like an impression. It's not really audible, right?" And I said, "Yeah, it's not always audible. It's not always something that's out loud, but it's something that's in your spirit." And he said, "Yeah, it's like impulses or something moving in your spirit." And I said, "Yeah, now train yourself to listen to that, and you will hear more specifics from the voice of God." Next slide, please. I want to give you some biblical basis for this, and then I'll go into some illustrations. The shepherd is a whispering shepherd. That is, Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, He will be the teaching Holy Spirit. He will teach you the things that you need to know. Now, if you have your Bibles and you turn that to John chapter 14, and we're going to look at John 14 through 16. Now, that seems like a long passage, but I'm going to mention these and ask you to mark them in your Bible. And then you can go back and read them carefully and be like the Bereans in the book of Acts, who heard the Apostle Paul preach and then they went home to search the Scriptures to make sure these things are so. In Acts chapter 14, verses 16 to 18, and if you know, I wish I had a big camera, I could show you my Bible. It's all marked up. I've got things marked in yellow. I've got them boxed in. That's a great way to mark your Bible when God is speaking to you, because later on you'll forget what the preacher says, and God wants you to remember what He says. So mark your Bibles. That's why I say you need your own Bible. I had the wonderful privilege of my son saying one day, "Dad, can I have your Bible when you die?" That's a wonderful privilege to have somebody look at your Bible and say, all those markings and all the things that God spoke to you are written in there in the margins of your Bible. It's a tremendous thing. My mom did that. She marked her Bible up, and my niece one day said to her, "Can I have your Bible when you die?" And my mom passed away, and her Bible passed on to my niece. What a great privilege. So I encourage you, write these things down. John chapter 14, verses 16 to 18. Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you will know him, for he lives in you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." So Jesus is saying, "I am the Holy Spirit, and I will come and take up residence with you." That is, the day that you invited Jesus Christ to come into your life, Jesus, the 6 foot, 200 pound Son of God, didn't walk into your heart. There's not enough room for his physical body in there. How did he get in? I love this little child that was in our studies in Brazil, and he said, "How does Jesus get in? How does he get in my heart? Does he come through my nose? Does he come through my mouth? Does he come through my ears? How does he get in?" He was thinking of the physical Jesus, and we said, "No, he just comes in when you ask him. He's invisible, and that's the Spirit of God, and he comes in, he takes up residence in you. And when Jesus is in you, he's going to be speaking to you because he lives inside of you." That's a wonderful truth. The second passage is chapter 14 and verse 26. And Jesus said, "But the Counselor, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and he will remind you of everything I have said to you." There it is again. The Spirit of God is the teacher. And to be a teacher, you have to speak. The Spirit of God speaks to us. And John chapter 15 and verse 26 and 27, that's the end of that chapter. "And when the Counselor comes, whom I will send from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." Again, he's saying, the Spirit of God testifies. What is a testimony? It's when somebody speaks of their experience and tells you about it. They use words. The Spirit of God uses words to teach us. In chapter 16, verses 7 to 10, repeats the same kind of thing. "Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, and righteousness, and judgment in regard to sin, because men do not believe in me, in regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer, in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world stands judge." He says the Spirit of God will convict people of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And that conviction involves words. The Spirit of God convicts us of sin in our life, puts his finger on it, makes it very plain to us. And the last passage is John 16, 12 to 15. And he says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. And this is why I say to you, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you." Again, the Lord is saying, the Spirit of God speaks. So everybody say it with me. The Spirit of God speaks. God is not a silent God. He didn't just record his scriptures in the Old Testament and New Testament and draw a dividing line and said, "Now I'm going away and I'm not going to talk to you anymore." Jesus said, "I'm going away, but I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to convict you. And I'm going to testify, and I'm going to show you things to come." That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, one other passage I want to take you to, and why I'm watching your Bibles, I'm watching you write these things down. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is another passage that often talks about the Spirit of God. As a matter of fact, in this passage from verses 1 to 27, there are 18 references to the Spirit of God. And here's what I want you to do. If you can't do it now, do it when you get home. Take a yellow marker. Make sure it doesn't bleed through on your pages. But take a yellow marker, and in Romans chapter 8, everywhere where the word Spirit, which is capitalized, that means the Holy Spirit, put a yellow mark through that. Spirit, 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 until you get 18 of them. Now, many of us read that and we become almost anesthetized to what the truth is. So I want you to read it when you get home, and read it, and in place of Spirit, I want you to put the word whispering Spirit. The whispering Spirit. The whispering Spirit. The whispering Spirit. I have it marked in my Bible. Every passage, every time Paul talks about the Spirit of God, it is the Spirit of God living and speaking to us. It's quite phenomenal. Let me just read just a little bit of that so you get the sense of it. And from verse 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what the nature desires. But those who live according to the Spirit, to the whispering Spirit, have their mind set on what the whispering Spirit desires. And the mind of the sinful nature is death, but the mind controlled by the whispering Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to the law of God, nor can it. And you go through the entire passage, and you find these are wonderful, wonderful truths to teach us that God's Spirit is whispering all the time. Whispering all the time. Do you know that the Lord is always speaking? There's never a moment when He's not speaking. It's like God has an automatic broadcast system, but very personal. He's always sending out His Word. He's always speaking to us. But most of the time, we are not listening. How many of you remember Hogan's Heroes? Sergeant Schultz used to say it often. I can't hear you. I'm not listening. I can't hear you. And often we're like that. We are so busy and running our own ways, we are not in tune with the whispering Holy Spirit. We are not listening to His whisper. He doesn't shout. He doesn't scream. He whispers. Now, all through the Old Testament, and in your study guide, I give you some of those Old Testament passages, that there are many different ways God spoke in the Old Testament. One of the ways was with an audible voice. Now, wouldn't it be nice if God spoke with an audible voice? Bill, get up and go to Ethiopia. It would be very clear. Bill, I want you to go to Ethiopia. Go play your music there. God would speak it. The problem with that is if God spoke only with an audio voice and He's always speaking, He would be saying, Bob, go to Timbuktu, and Bill, go to Ethiopia, all at the same time. It would just be thunder constantly of an audible voice. And we'd really get confused because we'd start hearing the message that's for Bill and not the message for Bob, and we'd really get messed up. So God has ways of teaching us. Next slide, please. There are many voices in our world today, and I won't spend a lot of time on this, but I want you to know that our minds are filled with voices. Do you hear them? It's like having the radio turned on. And there are many broadcasts across the radio. If you ever take the time to flip through, go through FM and then go through AM and realize how many people are broadcasting. Imagine that all at once they are broadcasting and you receive it on your receiver and there's all this din of noise. You can't discern anywhere. That's kind of like living in our world today. We've got cell phones and TVs and computers, and we've got radios, we've got TVs, constant noise. And so we can't hear the voice of God. There are many voices in the world today. There's your busy mind. Everybody look at me. Some of your minds aren't very busy at the moment, but most of us have busy minds. We're thinking about 1,001 different things at the same time. That's amazing. And as they invented computers and got them more and more sophisticated, computers can do many, many, many thousands of actions or decisions and thoughts in 1 second. Your mind is like that. It's got a lot of clutter, a lot of thoughts going on. And then there's your conscience. You have a conscience given you by God. I remember Disney's Jiminy Cricket. He was the conscience and always whispering to do this and do that. The Spirit of God is in you to do that. He speaks inside your mind. Then there's people's voices, people's opinions all around us. Then there are parental voices. Do you ever hear your mom talking to you today? Oh, I do. There's one scripture she quoted over and over again to us, and usually with her finger shaking. And she'd say, be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. And that stays in there, and it's rattling around all the time, along with 1,000 other ditties that mom said or dad said. Those are in your brain. And then there are internal voices, and hopefully you're not schizophrenic and have dual personalities, and hopefully you're not multiple personality, that you have all these voices going on inside of you. But many of us have this struggle with the old man, the new man, the old nature and the new nature, and that's in us speaking as well. And then there's the world of advice around us. Natural law, the culture squeezes us into its mold. And finally, there's the devil and demons that whisper and bombard us with all kinds of messages. We need to be able to discern from all of these other voices what is the voice of God. Let me give you some practical guide to listening to the voice of God. Some practical guide. The next slide, please. Listen to the voice of God. How do you hear the voice of God? How does the voice of God come to us? Let me give you a few of these, and I'll illustrate some of them, but not necessarily illustrate all of them. God's voice sometimes comes as a thought or a phrase, a statement that comes to us. I was sitting in my study early on in my ministry. It was a small church, and I had my study, and my discipline was I studied from 8 o'clock in the morning till 12 noon. And during that time, no phone calls were to come through. My wife wasn't to knock on the door, and I wasn't to babysit the kids while the wife goes out to shop. I was in the house of God. I was in my study before the Lord to listen to Him. And so as I did that, I was very disciplined to not move from that position, but constantly be reminded what God was speaking to me. While I was studying one morning, I hear this voice in my heart that says, "Get up and drive your car." And I thought, well, that's a stupid voice. The Lord told me to be in my study and to give myself to the Word of God and to prayer. I'm not going to listen to that voice. It tells me to get up and drive my car. It's a distraction. So I just blew that off and said that I'm not going to drive my car. And the second time, the voice comes again deep inside of me and says, "Get in your car and drive." And I said, "This is crazy. Lord, take that out of my mind. Why is that in my mind? That's trying to distract me from my study." And the third time, it comes very strong. And that's usually the way it happens with me, that I resist the voice until I know that it's the Lord. It comes the third time and says, "Get in your car and drive now." And so I said, "Lord, I don't know if that's you. Okay, I'm going to obey. I'm going to get in the car and drive." I got in the car and I started driving west toward Indiana, Pennsylvania. It was 9 miles. And I'm grumbling while I'm doing it. I said, "Lord, why am I doing this? Am I hearing voices? Am I going insane? This is crazy. I'm driving my car. I'm not doing anything for you." And the voice just kept saying, "Keep driving." And I kept driving. I got into Indiana, and the first traffic light, I stopped, and my car stalls. And it wouldn't start again. And I'm going, "Yeah, that's what I get for listening to voices. I listen to a voice and I get in trouble. Now it's a distraction of the whole morning." Fortunately, there was a gas station right across the street. And the car's backed up behind me because I was blocking the road. And one of the mechanics came over and he helped me get it started. And we pulled aside. And in our conversation, he said, "Where are you from?" And I said, "I'm from Clymer, 9 miles down the road." And he said, "Oh, my grandpa lives there. What do you do for a living?" And I said, "I'm a pastor. I pastor the Alliance Church." And he said, "Oh, then my granddad goes to the Alliance Church there. He was one of my elders." And he says, "I used to go there. I got saved once, but I walked away from the Lord. And I don't go to church anymore." And I thought, there's why God said, "Get in the car and drive." And so I shared Christ with him. I witnessed to him. I encouraged him to come back to church and get his life straightened out with the Lord. It took a couple weeks before he showed up in church. And he came back to the Lord, repented of his sin, and started walking with God again. There's a case of hearing the voice of God and not understanding what God is saying. He's saying very clearly, "Get in the car and drive." But I don't know why. And so you got to be sensitive to know, is that God or is that me or is that just a distraction or something that is not from the Lord? Sometimes God speaks to us in a phrase. He speaks to us in a sentence. And other times He speaks to us in a word. In a word. Remember the Old Testament story of Samuel. Samuel was that young boy in the house of Eli, and he was being trained to be a priest. He was just a young lad. And one night he went to bed, and he heard a voice, and it said, "Samuel." That's all it said. Samuel, he got up and went to Eli and said, "You called?" And Eli says, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed, kid." He goes back to bed, and the second time the voice comes and says, "Samuel." And he gets up and runs into Eli and says, "Eli, you called me again." Eli said, "I didn't call you. I didn't call you. You must be dreaming." And then Eli remembered that the voice of the Lord sometimes comes with one word. And he said, "The next time you go back, and if that voice comes again, you say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" And the third time he went back, he fell asleep, and then again the voice said, "Samuel." And little Samuel woke up and said, "Speak, Lord, your servant is hearing." And God spoke to him and gave him his first prophetic message. Sometimes God speaks with one word that he puts into our minds and into our hearts so that we might hear His voice. And then sometimes there is a picture, or someone might call it an image or a vision, that comes to mind. Peter saw a sheet that was unfolding, and he understood the word of the Lord from that. We were working in Brazil, and we were placed in a location where we had to plant a church in a very busy part of town. And so we were praying over what we were supposed to do and how God was going to guide us. My colleague Steve Renix and I were walking the mountains around this highly developed high-rise area, and we were praying over it. And as we were praying, we were fasting and praying, and as we prayed, I stood over the mountain and I saw a vision. I saw a vision of a church on a street corner, that specific street corner that was way down, almost out of our sight. I saw the church, I saw how it was built, I saw everything about it and understood it. When I went back home, I wrote that down in my journal. I wanted to remember what God was showing me. I didn't know if that was God was showing me something prophetic, but God was definitely showing me something. Well, the years went by, and we did our ministry there. Our daughter died in Brazil. 2 years later, we returned to the States, and we were back in the States for some 20 years. And I was called to go back to visit Brazil and visit the place where we planted that church. And the church was now developed at about 250 to 300 people in it. And when I drove up with my colleague who was driving, he parked in front of the church, and he said, "This is the Alliance Church." And I actually got chills up and down my spine, because it was the exact image that I saw in that vision on the mountaintop. I hadn't shown it to anybody. I hadn't drawn it out for people to see. But every detail of it was exact to what God was saying. This is what I want to do in this place. God is speaking. Sometimes He wants to reveal things to come. He wants to show you things that nobody else knows. It's a very intimate thing. But without an intimacy with God, without learning to be still, you're not going to hear that voice. And then sometimes it is a novel idea or an interesting thought that God puts in your mind and in your heart. When I went to minister in Grove City, and I'm using personal illustrations because I know me better than anybody else. We went to Grove City. It was a tough place to minister, and I've spoken of that before. As we went in there, God, as I fasted and prayed, gave me a vision, not a visual, not a picture, but He gave me specifics of what He wanted to do in that church. And I wrote them down. There were 12 things. I wrote them in my journal. There, you see a pattern here? When you hear the voice of God, write it down so you can check it out later. Those 12 things became the theme of that church for the next 11, 12 years. As a matter of fact, they continue to be the theme of the church today when somebody else is pastoring it. And among those things was the challenge to have a vibrant children's ministry. And the vision was that we were going to have an exciting children's ministry that would reach hundreds, even thousands of children. And I remember one day when I cast that vision before the church. I cast that vision and the 12 other things that were, or 11 other things that were on that list. And as I went to the narthex to shake hands and greet people, one of the young men came up to me. And he shook his finger in my face, and he says, "That will not happen here. We have tried everything. We have tried children's ministries, and we've tried clubs, and we've tried this, and we've tried that. It will not happen here. It does not work, and it will not work." And I'll tell you, that really raises my level of temper. Because here's a guy standing in front of me, shaking his finger and saying, "Whatever God said He wants to do in this place is not true. It will not happen." And I turned to him and I said, "Brother, it will happen because God said so, but you will not be here to experience it." Within a year, he was gone from the church. And the result of that is today, the Grove City Alliance Church has one of the most wonderful children's ministry. Not because of me. I didn't do it. God brought the right people in the right time and with the right gifts, and they put it together, and today it is just an exciting ministry. Matter of fact, we had visitors from our family that are in a large church, and they came and wanted to walk through the Grove City Church and see the children's ministry, and they went away saying, "This is awesome. This is awesome." Now, that's not about me. It's about my Savior who gives us ideas and visions. And then sometimes it's an impression that God gives you, an impression in your spirit, something that moves you emotionally. My mom had this gift of hearing from the Lord. She was a special person because she always told us that God always tells me what you're doing. Be sure your sin will find you out. And so she always had that expression, and we were always afraid because we saw that Mom knew things nobody else knew. And she'd always say, it's because God told me. Well, I was a teenager and dating a girl in Toledo, Ohio, which was about 50 miles away. And my brother and I did a double date. We went out to the Youth for Christ rally, and we drove all those miles. We brought our dates and left them off at their house. And we're driving home on a two-lane highway, which was not a busy highway, but there was an old truck in front of me. And I decided I needed to pass this thing. And I was in my little 1961 Ford Falcon. It was red, like fire engine red. But it had a six-cylinder engine in it, so it wasn't really fast. And I moved out to pass this truck, and I got about even with him, and he starts speeding up. And I'm looking at him thinking, what are you doing, fella? I'm just trying to pass you. And then I look up, and I see headlights coming around the curve, and they're coming right at me. My brother is screaming, Dick, get off the road! Get a stop! Stop! And I knew if I slammed on the brakes, it wouldn't be enough time to get past this truck, because he'd liable to slam on his brakes as well. So I threw it in second gear to get a little more power and slammed on the gas and with a prayer said, Lord Jesus, save us, and pulled in front of that truck just in the nick of time where that other car whizzed by. I tell you, both of us had our hearts pounding. We were scared to death. My brother turns to me and he says, Mom's going to know. And I said, you think? And he says, yep, she always knows when stuff like that happens. God tells her she's going to know. We went home, we were late, so everybody was in bed. We went to bed and got up the next morning, and while we're eating breakfast, my youngest brother's there eating his cereal, and he's laughing, he's just giggling, and I said, what's the matter? And he says, oh, Mom went nuts last night. About 11:30 last night, she got everybody up. We were already in bed. She got everybody up. You need to get up. You need to pray for Dick and Mike because they're in trouble. There's an accident going to happen, and you need to pray for God's deliverance. And she just pled the blood of Jesus, and she prayed fervently for about a half hour, and then it was lifted, and my brother said, isn't that crazy? And my brother Mike and I looked at each other and go, doot, 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 doot. God speaks to those who listen. And when Mom listens, she hears what God is saying. And she can pray for other people. And sometimes it's a revelation or a vision that comes. I was talking to some brothers in Christ a few years ago. And God has granted a number of spiritual gifts to my life where at one time I had none at all. I didn't earn those. God just graciously gave them. And one of them is discernment of spirits. But I was looking at some of these others and said, Lord, I've never had a vision. Not like a vision. I saw that little church, but that's kind of a picture, not really a vision. We were at a district conference on the deeper life. And the leaders were gathered together the night before the event. And we were praying, and as we were praying, we were seeking the Lord and His anointing upon this service. And while I was praying, there was a vision. And this what I would attribute as a real vision. It was a vision of a crippled man coming through the doors of the church. And I'm praying, I'm seeing that over and over. It's like one of those flicks that it runs to its end and then goes back to the beginning and runs again, and then runs again. And I'm saying, Lord, what is this? What is this? And the Lord said, this man is coming, and I want to heal him. And I thought, this is so... And it kept happening over and over. Every time I closed my eyes to pray, it happened. So I called the district superintendent over and some of the prayer warriors. I said, look, guys, I don't want to give false impressions, and I'm not a prophet, but I just had this vision of a crippled man coming through the door. It's like he was paralyzed with polio or something. He came in, and the Lord says, I want to heal him if he has the faith to believe me. And they said, well, time will tell whether that's true or not. And so they prayed over it, and I left it and didn't think any more about it. The next morning I got there, and our preparations, serving coffee and getting ready for all the crowd of people that were coming in, and I was coming around the corner, and the doorway was open, and in walks this crippled man. The exact man that I saw in my vision. He walks in, he's got braces on his legs, and he's walking with these crutches, and he's gone like this and come in, and then I recognized him. He was our attorney that many years ago had written our will. It would have been probably 35, 40 years ago that he wrote. I hadn't seen him since then. He was the one I saw in the vision. I knew it, but I didn't want to say that to people because I didn't even know this guy was alive. He walks in on those crutches. I'll tell you, my whole spirit goes, whoa, God wants to do something here. Whoo! And so when I greeted him, I said, Dan, what are you doing here? He said, well, I came for the conference. Wasn't the invitation to everyone? And he came in. And to make that long story short, God was speaking to Dan and wanted to heal his legs. And because of some events in the past of his life, he said, I can't believe God anymore. And even though the Lord showed you that he wanted to heal me, I cannot trust God for this anymore. And he walked away still invalid, still crippled. My heart was saddened by that, but the illustration is not about Dan. The illustration is about God reveals things, sometimes through visions and sometimes through dreams. It is amazing today how many Muslims are coming to Christ because Christ visits them in a dream. Hundreds and thousands have reported this happening. We had a speaker in our church that was a converted Muslim, and he tells the story of how Jesus came to him in a dream and said, I am Isa, whom you are persecuting. And he introduced himself to this man, and the man came to Christ. It's just like Saul on the way to Damascus. You see, the Lord hasn't stopped speaking. He's still speaking today. He's still revealing himself today. And then sometimes the word of the Lord comes, and the voice of the Lord comes as a caution, as a caution. We were candidating in a certain church. We were in an elder's home, and there were probably 25 people there. And every time one lady came near me to serve some food and other things, something in my spirit said, watch out. And I thought, well, what's that all about? And then she came by again, and the Lord said, watch out, be careful, watch out. And I thought, that's strange. And she was an attractive woman. I thought, well, I'm not attracted to her. What's the Lord saying here? And the third time she came by, the same thing, just a very strong impression, watch out, be careful. It was about 3 months later that lady was in my office at church and confessed that she was having an affair with another man. And she was leaving her husband. God was giving me warnings. Be careful of someone like that. Sometimes God is giving you warnings, and if you're not in tune with his voice, you're going to miss that and you're going to stumble and fall. Lastly, God speaks to us through Scripture. Actually, this ought to be the first one on the list. God speaks to us through Scripture. He brings verses of Scripture to mind. He brings things to our consciousness that we need. I was a teenager. When I was 9 years old, I felt the Lord call me to be a missionary. I went forward at a missions conference and dedicated my life to the Lord. But from 9 years old till 16 years old is a long time, and I got away from the Lord. I wasn't living in deep sin or anything, but I just was not walking with the Lord. Went to another missionary conference, and God spoke to my heart again and reminded me of that commitment I made when I was 9 years old at that altar, at that very spot. And he said, I called you, and I want you, and I've chosen you to go and proclaim my name to other nations. And I went forward again, and I rededicated my life. I remember I was bawling my heart out because I was a failure in school. I was a lousy student. I didn't know how I'd ever get in college or how I'd ever go to the mission field. I was shy. I couldn't speak in public. I had no gifts whatsoever, and I just laid out my whole life before the Lord and said, Lord, if you take this mess, and you've called me to be a missionary, you're going to have to do a miracle in me and change my life. I went home after that altar experience and got in my room, and my brother wasn't there at the time, so I got on my knees by my bed and I said, Lord, I just don't know what to do. I don't want to miss this voice. Everything in my whole upbringing says I don't have the talent or the ability to be a preacher, let alone a missionary. I need to know that you have spoken this word. And I know it's a bad policy, Lord, but I'm just going to open the word and ask you to speak to me. Show me from your word. And I opened the Bible, and it fell open to a passage that I had marked before. Hint, hint, mark your Bible. Mark 16:15. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And lo, I am with you to the end of the age. I'll tell you, whoo, chills up down my spine. It was like a great spotlight hit that passage, and I started to weep. And I said, Lord, that's my confirmation that you have called me to be a missionary. I take that as your promise that you will enable me to do this. Well, I stand before you today, a missionary, a pastor, a public speaker, an evangelist, a teacher, all the things God has done in my life because he had gifted me to do those things when I had no gifts whatsoever. Now, let me say this. I do not encourage you to hear the voice of the Lord by opening the Bible and just grabbing the first thing that comes to mind. Story is told of a man that did that, didn't know what God wanted him to do, so he opened the Bible, and it said, Judas went out and hung himself. And he said, well, that's not a very good passage, so let me try that again. He flipped it open again and said, go and do thou likewise. That is not a good way. That is not how God speaks to us. It's not grabbing a passage here and a passage there, but it's God speaking through His Word and making it clear to us and showing us His direction. We need to be people of the whispering Holy Spirit who whispers to us. We need to get close enough to God like John the Apostle leaning against Jesus at the Last Supper when Jesus needed somebody. John was there to listen. And Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me. It was John who whispered to him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus whispered back, it's the one with whom I dip in the dish. See, God whispers His secrets to those who are close to Him. Those who abide in Him, those that love to hear His voice. God is speaking. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to me. He's speaking this morning. Last slide, please. Are you like Samuel? Skip that slide, please. Are you like Samuel? Listening to the Holy Spirit, listening to the Lord. Are you willing to say, Lord, speak to me? Speak to me that I may speak. Now, as I said at the beginning of the message, I left my PowerPoint behind and also had a closing song on that, and so we don't have the closing song, but let me read you the scriptures to the closing song. It's called In the Garden, In the Garden by C. Austin Miles. C. Austin Miles was living in a little place called Pittman, New Jersey. It was an old Methodist camp meeting. It's a place where the Alliance Church is that I pastored, and so the song has special meaning as his own personal testimony was he was at a camp meeting one dewy morning, and he got up early to hear the voice of the Lord and walk through the gardens, walk through this beautiful camp facility. And he said the Lord spoke to him and gave him these words, and so he wrote the words to this song. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear calling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And He walks with me, and He talks with me. And He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Isn't that a special song? Great to hear a Methodist preacher saying, God still speaks today. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and tells me I'm His own. How many of you know that song or have heard that song? Most of you. So I'm going to ask you to stand and sing it. Okay? You're going to sing it. Are you scared now? Are you scared? The worship team said that's one on their list that they're going to learn, and they haven't learned it yet, so they're not going to play the instruments, but I'm going to try to start you on the right note. If it's wrong, you that have good voices can correct me. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear calling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And all God's people said, Amen. Heavenly Father, we give You this word. It's Yours from the beginning to end. We ask that You would make us people of the Word and people with ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. That You would teach us, You would guide us, You would direct our pathways, You would warn us, You would caution us, You would convict us, You will speak to us of things to come, and that through this we might be Your intimate sons and daughters, and we might sing this song in truth. You walk with us, and You talk with us. We pray that You bless Your word to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. I encourage you to pick up one of the books.